So this morning I want to talk to you, we're going to get to the peace part eventually, but I want to talk to you about blocked trust and how that has anything to do with peace. We'll see that the Lord can hopefully weave some of those thoughts together. But this morning, I was originally going to use a different verse than the one I've chosen now, but sometimes the Lord changes things, and as much as I tried to make the first one work, it just wasn't going to. So it'll show up somewhere later on. But Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, if you want to find that in your Bible, you can. But Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." And would you, thank you, Lou, would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for everything that you are for us. God, the gifts that you give that, God, I think maybe we're a little ashamed to only celebrate sometimes during this time of the year. But God, for your love, the joy that comes for you, peace, and God, the other things that we celebrate, like hope at this time of the year. And so God, we just ask that, God, we would feel your presence today. I'm not asking you to come, God. I firmly believe you've already been here. And God, you're already here with us, but help us to feel that you're here with us this morning. And I know that for many of us, we have things to do after this, but God, help us to seek peace with you this morning and push those things aside and give you all of our attention. Because God, I know we have all of yours in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this past Wednesday, we had our Christmas Kids Club party. And so Kids Club is our like 3-year-olds all the way through our fifth, sixth grade age kids that we have. And we meet twice a month, and we just spend time in biblical activities. So we do a craft. Our snack is on the theme of the evening. We do crafts. We do story time. We have games. But we're also teaching a lot of the important life and social skills that come with having secure attachment. So we're providing those things not only to help them to be attached to God, but also to have secure relationship and to be able to, do a lot of things. And so I've preached a lot about a lot of that over the last year, pretty much, talking to you guys about rules and attachment and all these different things. But we were doing a specific activity. So I had asked Nancy, I said, it would be fun, I think, for the kids to do some sort of nativity, like a relay or something, like learn a little about the characters and dress up maybe. And so Nancy quickly sprang to action, and she had all the things figured out. She had an outfit for an angel and shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And so she's talking to them about not just the importance of the story, but the importance of all of those characters that were there, and that the nativity is this just humble story, and it was filled with these humble people that you wouldn't think would be at like the birth of a king. And so Mel had done some crafts for the nativity and had them make an ornament that they could come home and put on their tree that again, brought us back to that simplicity sometimes in that. So Sandra did the nativity story, and so Nancy had this activity. And so we were sitting over here, and I can't remember if it was the 3-year-olds or the older kids, but it was just pandemonium, watching them run down and get dressed and come back, and like the baby fell a little bit, and like she was trying to get them to like sit in the certain, way with the angel in the back and the shepherds in the front, and they just weren't. And so I said to her, I said, good thing the nativity was messy, right? Because I think, it's a good reminder that it wasn't perfect and it didn't go the way that I think people expected. And so I think that's a good reminder for us is we see it on the cards, right? We see it on the movies. We see it, played out in our mind of this like beautiful, picturesque moment of Jesus and his family in this stable, but the stable was gross. It smelled bad. It was wet and full of animals, and it was not the place that you would have expected the Messiah to come into the world. And so I think as we look at Proverbs 3 this morning, It calls on us to trust God with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. And I'm gonna take Proverbs and I'm gonna pull pieces from the nativity story this morning as we go through and work towards peace. But I wanna start with this thing called block trust. So first, I think we have to define what trust is, right? And so trust in the Oxford Dictionary is the firm belief, it's our ability to have the firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of someone or something. But sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes I think we've all probably had opportunities or moments in our lives that have prevented us from trusting someone or something. When that happens, when a stressful situation, time, or event comes in, it creates what is called blocked trust. Block trust is defined as the inability due to stress or trauma or other significant circumstances to trust in another person. Blocked trust can be caused by past trauma. It can be caused by unaddressed sin in our lives, disappointment from unanswered prayers, or perhaps prayers that were not answered in the way that we wanted them to be. Maybe we had a specific idea of what the answer to prayer would look like and we didn't get that. And so that may have caused blocked trust. The fear of the unknown, misunderstanding God's character, or simply struggling to reconcile personal experiences with the teachings of faith. And so not only can we have blocked trust with persons or things, but we can also have blocked trust with God, right? Those things that in our life that have been hard and difficult to overcome can help us to feel maybe distant from him. And so blocked trust with God might feel like feeling distant, feeling like God maybe is not present in my life, having a difficulty praying with sincerity. You might pray, you might do the motions, but you don't really feel it or mean it. You don't really put a lot of weight in that prayer that it's going to do something for you. You might be skeptical about scripture and things that come out of scripture. You might have a lack of peace. You might have constant worry, and you might not feel like you're important or that God is not listening to your needs at the present time. Some other things that can create or cause blocked trust are societal expectations, status, public rejection from social groups. And I'd like to think this morning that all of us at some point in time in our lives have felt one of those things. We've all had a moment where we've said, you know what, I'm struggling, and I'm beginning to question, how does my faith line up with the things that are happening to me? How does this God that I've been taught my whole life that loves me and cares for me, how can these things happen? And it challenges our faith in the way that we see God and why we might believe and know that he exists, we don't fully trust him anymore. And I think back to the nativity story, I think it's a good example of what that could look like. Before you get all the way to the stable, you have Mary and Joseph. And Joseph finds out, and scripture says that Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant before they were married. And scripture says he was gonna set her aside. Matthew 1:20 in the Passion Translation says, while he was still debating with himself about what to do, he fell asleep and had a supernatural dream. And an angel from the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife, because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. I like the Passion Translation because it says that Joseph was debating. It wasn't just this quick, oh, that happened and this is the answer that I'm going to do. But I think it goes back to probably that internal struggle and that's something that we can relate to. Because we've all been faced with difficult decisions and struggled with the right choice to make in those moments. And so could it have been societal expectations, right? That was not okay in that time for a woman to be pregnant outside of marriage. And Joseph should have set her aside and she should have been shamed. She should have been cast aside. She should have been kicked out of her town for all of these things that were happening in that moment. So was it those societal expectations that maybe prevented Joseph from seeing God's plan? Joseph was well aware of scripture. Joseph was well aware that of the call to trust God in all circumstances. Scripture doesn't tell us, but I can imagine maybe there's a conversation where Mary tries to explain, but maybe he's not ready to receive it or hear it. So what pressures and things prevented Joseph from being open to God's plan? Yes, the angel came, but it wasn't until the angel came that Joseph believed. In typical terms of block trust in the lives of individuals, block trust is always triggered when our primary source of care stops being able to provide nurturing care. And so we see this play out in caregiving relationships all the time, that the stress and trauma of feeling rejected by your child, or a child who's chronically sick, or a child who has a diagnosis that makes, you know, life hard, or has significant behaviors. Blocked care is a caregiver being unable to provide the loving, nurturing care because of that chronic stress, trauma, or maybe the rejection. And so I want to look at that today as we move forward and round the corner over towards peace, is that while we might have blocked trust with God, God never has blocked care with us. I'm reminded of Jeremiah 31:3 that says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. God loved us before we came. God loved us while we were here. And God loves us long after we leave this world. And so the word loved in this passage is Hebrew, and it means that there's a deep affection and commitment. And the word everlasting also comes from a Hebrew word, which means to be internal or non-ending. So God's love for us is everlasting. God's love for us is deep, and it's an internal commitment that lasts forever. And God's love is unconditional. God's love is not temporary. We don't earn God's love. Scripture tells us that while yet we were still sinners, God sent his son to die for us. God is the only God in all of the world who pursues his people. God comes for us. He leaves the 99 to find the one. And God's love embraces all. God's love was not just poured out for the chosen people of Israel, but God was also poured his love out to all. Right? We are called to love all people and bring all people in to the love of Christ. And so where else do we see this? And Pastor says all the time that Scripture is the best place to prove that Scripture is true. And so where else do we see other examples outside of this verse in Jeremiah that would say that God loves us and that God cares for us? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added to you. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows your needs. Psalms 34:10, it says, the young lion suffers and wants and hungers, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. Psalms 23:1 says that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Romans 8:28, and for we know that those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So if God loves us, right, what is the trigger for us then to have blocked trust with him if blocked care is the precursor? And blocked care comes from the enemy. Blocked care does not come from God. But it's the enemy's work to try to manipulate and contrive situations to where you feel like God is not for you. 1 Peter 5:8 gives us that one warning. It says, be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so if we have blocked trust and we know that God is not the source of the blocked care to trigger that for us, then what is the solution and what is the answer? If you feel today that you have things in your life that are preventing you from seeing the full picture of God's beauty and love for you, then you need to set out to become a peace seeker this morning. And so the way to overcome blocked trust with God is to get on the pathway to peace. When we're on the pathway to peace, when we have peace with God, it allows us to view ourselves and to view others through the lens of heaven, and it opens us up to all the promises that God has for us. But the pathway to peace starts with you. The first part of peace is always inner peace. Once we have inner peace, it will lead us to be at peace with others around us. And so I want to leave you this morning with a few things that we can do to get towards inner peace today. The first one is honest reflection. Honest reflection. If we can acknowledge that I have struggles, If I can openly communicate my doubts to God through prayer, God can help me to overcome them. Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. And if you seek him with all your heart and your soul, he will answer. So honest reflection, it's okay to not be okay. I think we put a lot of emphasis on trying to make it look like we have everything put together all the time, right? I have all the answers. Things are okay. I'm fine. I'll ask my son, Richard, from time to time. I can visibly see that he's upset. And I'll say, Richard, what's bothering you? And he'll say, oh, nothing, I'm fine. And so I've told him that I'm fine, nothing is not an answer that we can use in our house. It's okay for you to feel mad. And I tell him all the time, you're mad at me if it's okay. You can be mad at me. I'd rather you yell and scream that you're mad at me and pretend that you're not okay. So honest reflection, being able to communicate that I have doubts and fears, and trust that God will still love you because he does. The second is to seek support. Seek support from your pastoral team. Seek support from a counselor. Seek support from a close friend and express your concerns, because the Bible calls us in Galatians 6:2 to bear one another's burdens. There is an unfortunate taboo in our society against positive mental health and seeking support for that. And I'm not saying that you have to go see a therapist. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, pay someone to help you with that. But there are people that can help you through the challenges and struggles that you have. And the body of Christ should be a place of hope and healing, where the broken come to experience God's love, and not a wall or a barricade that keeps broken people out. We are called to bear one another's burdens. It means there is no shame or condemnation in the house of the Lord. You come here to find hope and joy and love. The next one is to study scripture. Read passages that highlight God's faithfulness, love, and promise, and find reassurances in the pages of scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You need to spend time in scripture. You need to rehearse that you are a child of God and that you are loved. You need to rehearse the fact that you are made in God's image. And if you are made in God's image, then there is no mistake with who you are. Find over and over the fact that God loves you. Find weapons that you can use against the enemy as he comes and sows seeds of doubt in your life. Connect to a care group. Connect to a Bible study. Connect to Right Now Media. There are so many opportunities for you to be able to immerse yourself in the word. Find the one that works for you and jump in with both feet. And the last one is to seek forgiveness. If you are holding on to guilt or resentment, or you haven't asked for forgiveness from God or from other people, then what are you waiting for? Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. There is no rejection from God. If you humble yourself before him and ask for forgiveness, God will grant it to you. It's an automatic yes from him. One of the things that we work on with caregivers and work all the time is finding ways to say yes. Finding ways to empower our kids to have a voice, to be able to express the needs and wants that they have in life. Every time we say no or hear a no from us, it's rejection. Every time we give a yes, it's acceptance. And God gives nothing but yeses when we ask. So have the courage, have the confidence that God wants to listen to you. His ear is trained on you whether you're speaking or not. He's ready to hear you every single day. And so no matter where you are today, if you're feeling rejected, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling like you have blocked trust with God from past circumstances that you haven't been able to reconcile, we encourage you to take the first step towards inner peace today. And Pastor Dave and the worship team are going to come in. They're going to sing a song that I asked them to sing. And so the altars are open this morning. And I just want to highlight the chorus that's in this song, because that's our anthem of inner peace today. It says, how your kindness yet pursues me, how your mercy never fails. Till the day that death shall lose me, I will sing, oh, I will sing. And I hope that's your prayer this morning, is that if you don't have inner peace this morning, if you have things that are holding you back, things that are keeping you from the peace that God can bring into your life, the altars are open and there's a body of Christ here in this room that would love to pray and help you with that this morning. And so would you sing this morning with Pastor Dave and the worship team as they close us out?